Avery. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. I hope this year has gotten off to a good start for you. Mine got off to a great start till I came to church today, and then my wife tells me it's not resolutions, it's goals, and then Sam gets up and talks about a bear eating me. And somebody said, what happened to that story? Well, let me just say this. I'm here and the bear's not, okay? Just so you know the rest of the story. James chapter 1 is a very familiar passage of Scripture that probably many of you, most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with. One of the phrases in this passage says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And so I just wanted to share some things with you this morning along the lines of that passage. And usually I have handouts and then I do PowerPoint in the 11 o'clock service, but today I thought I would use some object lessons so the familiarity of that passage might not lose its impact as we think about it. So I brought a cinder block with me today, which is very heavy. And if I stand here and hold it a long time, there's probably going to come a point where I'm going to have to let it go. Now, when I let it go, what do you think is going to happen? Will it stay suspended in the air while I walk away? Will it go up to the ceiling and sort of lodge against the ceiling, or do you think it'll go straight down? How many of you think it's going to stay suspended? Because I'm not going to really do it, but how many of you think it'll go up in the air? How many of you think it'll go straight down? Well, that's about everybody. Why do you think that? Gravity. What is gravity? Well, Sir Isaac Newton said, one day he was walking, the story goes, it really didn't happen this way is what most people say. He was walking and he was on his mother's farm and an apple hit him on the head. You've seen that on commercials. The truth is it probably didn't happen that way. He probably did see an apple fall from a tree. And he began thinking about that. And if you're a physics major, you'll understand this a whole lot more than I do. I don't understand all the technical stuff behind the three laws of motion that Isaac Newton come up with. But basically, the gravitational pull is going to make an object go down. Now, had I let go of that cinder block, what do you think would have happened? It would have gone down, and my feet would have felt the effect of dropping it. If I would have dropped it, because I do believe in the law of gravity, I would just hold it out here and not let it hit me. But what if I said to you, I never met Isaac Newton, and he probably got that from Aristotle. And anyway, that was 400 years ago. Things have changed in 400 years. That was back in the 1600s. We're new and improved in our thinking. I think it's just going to float now. Well, I just think it's going to rise up. And so forget Isaac Newton. I'm just going to let go of it. Well, my belief about the law of gravity doesn't change the law of gravity, does it? It's going down. And whatever's in its way, it's going to hit, whether it's my foot or my leg or the ground or whatever. Just because I don't believe in the law of gravity doesn't mean that it's not in effect all the time and all around us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10 says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they always do err in their heart, because they have not known my ways. When many of us were growing up, church was a major factor in a family's life. You went to church, your kids went to church. If a family didn't go to church, it was a little bit out of the norm. But in the last 20, 30, 40 years or so, that's changed. And there's a lot of families that don't go to church anymore, and they don't send their kids to church or take their kids to church. And so we've raised a whole generation that really doesn't know the Bible or Bible truths. Even people who went to church that were not Christians had heard the truth, and the seed of the Word of God had been implanted in their hearts and in their minds. And later on, the Holy Spirit would use that to remind them of what God said. But in this passage in Hebrews, it says that God is grieved at that generation in his day, and I think it's similar to today's generation. And the thing that grieved the heart of God was there was a people who have not known his ways. They don't understand what the Bible teaches, and they might think it's archaic and not for today, and they don't believe it, and their thinking and logic is better than God's. And it's sort of like the law of gravity. Just because you don't believe the Bible or believe God's truth doesn't mean it's not true. And it will affect you by blessing you or by cursing you, depending upon your obedience or disobedience to it. And just like if you drop a heavy cinder block, it's going to go down. So if you obey or disobey the Word of God, it's either going to bring blessings in your life or it's going to cause some damage along the way. And God was grieved with the people because of the way they were living and the way they were acting that hurt His heart and was going to be detrimental to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first couple of verses, Moses is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And they're on the verge of entering the promised land. You remember that Moses would not go with them. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a classic passage that's given to the Jewish people, promising God's blessing upon the nation if they would live for Him. And though that particular passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 was written to the Jewish nation, many of those same principles still apply to us today. And listen to what verses 1 and 2 says. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land wherein you go in to possess, that thou should fear the Lord thy God to keep all of His statutes and all of His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy sons' sons, and all the days of thy life, that thy days might be prolonged. And then down in verses 17 and 18, we shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes and the commandments that He's given to us, that thou shalt do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land that the Lord has sworn unto our fathers. Basically, in this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it talks about teaching God's word to your children when you sit down and when you walk in the way, when you sit down to eat. We need to understand God's truth and God's way, and that when we live God's truth, we're blessed by it. I said last week at the funeral service, I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with girls who do. Someone said that to a friend that did not go to church, and the friend responded, well, what do you do then? It's not so much what we don't do, but what do you do for the Lord? The world has this misconception or this deception that when you become a Christian, God takes all the fun out of your life and you can't really enjoy yourself anymore. And so that's why people say, well, I want to sow my wild oats first. I want to live it up. And then later in my life, I'll get saved when all my fun's gone. That is a lie from the devil. But Jesus promises abundant life. You'll never know peace and joy and happiness and contentment until you walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so it's not just what we don't do, it's what we do. And God gives us His principles and His precepts and His commandments for our good, not to rob us of our fun, to give us abundant life. It's when we live for Him that we're blessed. And so as you go through this year, remember the cinder block, that God's truth is eternal and it doesn't change. And we can believe it or not believe it, but that's not going to change the outcome of our actions, either being blessed or suffering the consequences. This year, we again planted a garden. We took a kernel of corn, and some of you remember we planted a garden out here. This is the second year we did it. The first year I was in charge of it, and nothing came of it. This year, we found a farmer to do it, and it produced stalks and ears of corn. And the verse we use is John chapter 12, verses 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And so Christ used the physical analogy of planting a garden. If you take a kernel of corn or a seed of wheat and place it on the table, nothing's really going to happen to it. It's just going to lie there by itself. It's not going to produce anything. But if you take that same seed or that same kernel and you place it in good soil and you care for it, it will produce many times over. And so this year we took a picture of where the garden was going to be planted with people that had talked about outreach this year into their families' lives and sharing Christ with others. And then we took a picture of the stalks after they had grown. Our last picture hopefully will be this summer when we have the people that you have invited and talked to about Christ to stand with you as a result of dying to self and giving your heart to the principles of Scripture and sharing your faith. There's a possibility we'll have a man come here in March that's going to talk about how can you share your faith effectively and not be so nervous and apprehensive about talking to somebody about your faith and about Christ. Jesus talked about soil, and you remember his story in Luke chapter 8. He talked about four types of soil. One was the hard pan type soil. And so when the seeds dropped on that hard road bed, it doesn't penetrate the ground. It just lays there and the birds get in and dies. And sometimes when we come to church, we hear some things that we don't want to hear. And our hearts are sort of hard to it. I don't believe that. I don't accept that. I don't need to do that. And God cannot have his way in our heart and our life because we've hardened ourselves to the truth. I was at a conference last year and the pastor or the preacher was talking about when we get up to speak, we are preaching to unbelief. We're trying to convince people that what the Bible says, whatever it might be, whether it's salvation or something else, what the Bible says is true. Now, we believe that intellectually, but many times we pick and choose what we want to obey. And the seed, like on the hard pan soil, does no good. And then Jesus used the analogy of soil or ground that's very shallow. And the seed goes into it and it begins to grow and everybody's excited, but then because the roots can't go deep into the ground, it just withers and dies. I think that happens to us a lot. We come to church on Sunday or we read the Bible or we listen to a message on television or the radio or podcast and we get all excited. We get inspired and challenged, and then a couple days later we forgot everything we heard. You know, we sit in church and we think, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to make this change in my life and this is what I'm going to do for the Lord. And then we leave and we get back into the regular routine and we forget what we just heard and what we just committed to do. And then he talks about seeds that are sown in thorny ground. And how that the cares of this world chokes it out, and maybe there's a desire to serve God or make some changes in our life, and then the busyness of our life, the priorities of our life just overwhelm us, and that which we desire to do, we don't follow through with. And then the fourth soil that he mentions, of course, is the good ground. The soil has been tilled up and prepared, it's been weeded, and the kernel dies and fruit comes up and it blesses people many times over. That's what James talks about. He wants our heart to be like. A second thing that I would share with you is how many times do you look in a mirror? I looked in the mirror this morning. I don't know what happened last night, but there was some hair demons in my room and it was everywhere this morning. And you know, one of the first things I do in the morning, probably one of the first things you do is the morning, you go in the restroom and look in the mirror. First thing in the morning, it's not a pretty sight, I'm going to tell you. And I wonder how many times we look in the mirror. I came to church today, and every time I've gone to the bathroom, I looked in the mirror. You know, is my hair right? Is it still there? Is it more falling out or whatever the issue might be? Or have I got something on my coat or on my shirt that I need to do? Is everything clean? And we sort of just check ourselves through the day, and James talks about that. You probably have mirrors like this. I look at it and don't you hate the side where it magnifies everything? My goodness, there's some things that I didn't see it on this side, but when I looked on that side, ooh, my goodness. That's the way the Bible is sometimes. You know, we just glance at it. It don't look so bad. But then when we really intently look into it, like James says, we see some things that are a little bit alarming to us. And so the Word of God can be like a mirror. We'll look at that in just a minute. And then the last object lesson I would give you, the cinder block and the seed and the mirror. I got a new cell phone this week. I get one every couple years. Went out to U.S. Cellular. Of course, my wife got the new one. I got hers. But it's new to me. And I decided I was going to, it's got a lot of the same features. Now, you know me and technology. I don't know a lot of what's on a cell phone. But there are certain things that I use. And my cell phone, the reason I got hers instead of keeping mine is my camera has a chip on the back of it where I dropped it, and it doesn't take good pictures. And I knew hers did. And so after we left U.S. Cellular, I decided I was going to take a picture of something. And I got ready to take a picture, and it was showing me. Now, you know that. You know that you can do selfies and you can do yourself. And I'm thinking, I don't want to see me. Isn't that the way it is at church sometimes? The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, no, God, not me. They need it. And the Lord says, no, you need it. This is your selfie. You need to examine your own life. Yeah, but I don't have a trouble with anger. They do. No, we all do. And so when you get your cell phone, and if you're into the selfie thing, I'm not, because I've already checked myself out and I just don't do selfies. You know, if you wanted selfies of your kids or whatever, fine, but you know, well, I won't go there. But just remember, if you take a selfie, the mirrors and the phones can show us what we're like outwardly, but the Bible shows us what we're like inwardly. It shows us our heart. So look at James chapter 1, verses 22, and the analogies I've given. I'm going to show you scripture and why I came up with those. Verse 21 of James, as we continue through our verse-by-verse study in this book. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word of God that has been planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls. This is like tilling up the soil. If we want the word to be effective in our lives and to enact the change that God wants to bring about for our good and His glory, we just got to get rid of the filth. Do you have filth in your life? I don't know what that means to you, but the Holy Spirit can probably direct you and thinking, you know, I shouldn't be acting like this. I shouldn't be thinking like this. I shouldn't be treating people like I do. I should get rid of the filth. Aren't you glad the Bible says if we confess our sins that God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness? We just got a way of attracting filth, don't we? I mean, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when Jesus would wash the disciples' feet at the Last Supper, it was because just daily living, their feet, walking on the dusty roads, picked up some dust and dirt that it shouldn't. They just needed to be clean. And so in our lives, just going through the day, and we're not even intended to do certain things. We just think something we shouldn't think, or we say something we shouldn't say, or we do something we shouldn't do. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of it. And as D.L. Moody used to say, just keep short accounts with God. And get rid of filth. And the Greek word is the word for earwax. You know, you got a lot of earwax in your ear. You really can't hear very good what's being said to you. You got to remove that. And that's the example that's been given to us here. If we have things in our life that shouldn't be there, it's like the earwax, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak to our heart and challenge us and use us, but we're not really hearing it like He wants us to hear it because of the stuff that's in our life that shouldn't be there. And not only get rid of the filth, but get rid of the evil things in your life. This is more things that hang on. You know, they've been there a while. You know, last year you made your resolution goal that you were not going to do that. You were going to change. And here we are a year later, and you're making the same thoughts, goals that you had last year because you didn't fulfill that one. You're doing it this year because you didn't fulfill it last year. Ask the Lord to help you and maybe have other people pray with you and check up on you if you need that. When we deal with the evil and the filth in our life, and then we humbly accept the Word of God. Lord, as I come today, I want my heart to be right, and for things that are displeasing to you, forgive me and help me to turn from those and get those out of my life, because I want to hear from heaven. I want you to speak to my heart in the service today or in the Sunday school lesson or as I read the Word of God on my own. Speak to me. I want to humbly receive it. It's the idea of a teachable spirit. Don't you hate to be around people who know it all? We don't need to have that know-it-all attitude when we come to church. Oh, we've heard that. I know that passage. I know where you're going with that. But humbly receive it and let God impress it or burn it in our souls so it changes our behavior. But don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. A man was leaving church one day and he said, Pastor, that was a good message today. And the pastor responded, well, what are you going to do about it? I mean, he said it in a nice way, but that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? Not, I enjoyed that, that was good, I learned a lot, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, if you're hearing it and that's all you're doing, it's not making a change in your life. It's not glorifying the Lord. And then James uses the illustration that we're familiar with, the mirror, that you know, we look into a mirror and we see what's there and we make changes and we're very foolish if we see things that need to be changed and we walk away the way we came. I would scare you to death today if I came the way I looked when I got up this morning. Some of you worked a lot longer than I did to get here today. The Word of God shows us our soul. It sort of lays us bare and says, hey, this is what I see and this is what needs attention, not in your outward appearance, but in your inner man. When we look, and the passage in James says, don't just glaze, but look intently. Well, I try to get up and read a chapter every morning. Well, that's great. But if you're not careful, that'll just appease your conscience, and you'll gaze instead of glance and study intently. It takes some study. It takes some effort. Well, my goal is to read through the Bible this year, and I'm going to try to read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, and that'll get me through the whole Bible in a year. That's great. Do that. But do more than that. Whether you go through the Bible or go through a passage, read something. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you about something or you don't understand something, study it. Find some study tools, and we can help you in that regard if you need some help. And with the internet, it's easy today to Google things and come up with the right people who will help you understand better what the Scripture is saying. But you got to study it, and that's hard, and that takes some time, and that takes some effort. But let me tell you, it's going to be worth it. Usually you get out of something what you put into it, whatever it is. And we've got to put time and effort into our study of the Word of God. That's why Timothy says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Joshua was given in verse 8 of chapter 1 this instruction by God. Don't let the word of God, don't let the principles of God's word elude you, but meditate on them day and night, and therein you will find success. Does that mean that everything you want to do will happen and that everything you desire will work out the way you want it to? Well, of course not. But I can tell you, when you honor God in your life, He'll honor you. And as I said earlier, as I shared with families in the last couple of weeks about the passing of loved ones, as a Christian, knowing that our loved one was a believer, if that is true, we can have joy in the Lord and grief at the same time. We can know the pain of losing a loved one and the hurt of the separation and the change that's going to take place in our life. And at the same time, we can have the joy in knowing that God's in control and He does all things well. And one day we will see our loved ones again and we can still grieve. It's joy and grief together. And the Word of God is like that. You know, it points out our life, and we look at it intently. Even when things don't go the way that we want them to go and we desire them to go, because we don't know God's will and we don't always know how he's going to act, but we can be certain that he's going to work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. James said, don't just listen, but obey it. Look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 119, verse 59. I pondered the direction of my life, and I turned to follow your laws. Now, when most of us, or some of us maybe hear the term meditation, we think of some monk somewhere going, om, om, and we're sort of turned off by it. But the Bible talks about the need to think about what he teaches us and meditate on it. You know, in church this morning, we talked about a cinder block, or we talked about a mirror, or we talked about a seed, or we talked about a cell phone, and hopefully you can remember that this week. And what was that cinder block? I know he said if he dropped it, it's going to hit his foot, and oh, the law of gravity, and God's truth is real, and when we live it, we're blessed by it, and when we don't live it, we're not. And what was the thing about the mirror? Oh, yeah, I remember the mirror shows us our outward appearance, but God's Word shows us what our heart's like. And I remember that mirror had the magnifying glass, and we shouldn't just glance at the Scripture and read it quickly. We should gaze into it and study it. And that our hearts are like soil, and if God's Word is going to be embedded in us, we've got to prepare our hearts and be ready to receive it. Let these things be in your mind this week. In the fourth chapter of James, verse 17, he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You know, I think the Lord wants me to visit somebody this week. You know, I think the Lord wants me to read the Bible this week. You know, I think the Lord wants me to come out to Wednesday night service. I've just been impressed to do that. You know, I think the Lord wants me to stop being so impatient with my kids. Well, if you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, it's sin. If the Holy Spirit's leading you in some path, follow it. Now, don't just go on what the preacher says or the emotion of the moment. Make sure it's what the Bible's teaching. But live it in your life and you'll be blessed. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or it may drift away from us. I heard a statistic that said within 72 hours you forget, I think, 80 or 90% of the things that you hear. But when you write things down, you remember them much longer. You know what you're going to say tomorrow at work? How did church go? Yes, it went good. What did they preach on? I remember Sam telling this story about a bear and the preacher, and that's all you're going to remember. And then people say, I ain't going to that church. All they do is talk about bears and jokes. They don't even talk about the Bible. We've got to be careful lest what we hear drifts from us and we lose it, and the impact that God wants to make in our life never happens. Well, I trust that you'll make a commitment, not a resolution, not a goal necessarily, if you want to call it that, fine. But we need to be in this book every day. It's not going to change. The principles are going to help us. And James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. And don't just glaze or glance at what the Bible says, but gaze into it, study it intently, and let it change your life for God's glory. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what it does in our life. We all know the joy of obedience, and we know the pain of disobedience, and sometimes the fruit of our choices doesn't come to fruition in the first few days or months. Sometimes it's weeks or months or even years down the road before we see the effects of our actions. And so help us to sow good seed. Help us, like Deuteronomy says, to commit ourselves to your ways, to carefully obey what you've said, knowing that in doing so we will have the abundant life that you've promised us. Father, when we listen to your word, whether it's in our own quiet time, whether it's at church, whether it's television program, whatever it might be. Help us to prepare our hearts by getting rid of the filth and the evil that's in our lives that causes us to not be as receptive as we should be to what you're trying to teach us. Father, give us a year that honors you, and we don't know what this year will hold. But each day, help us to live in a way that at the close of the day, we can say, we really tried to honor God today. And we can think of ways in which we did. And when things come into our life that shouldn't be there, may we confess those and return back to fellowship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.